Hey, good morning, church fam. How are we doing today? Who's grateful to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God and with the presence of God? And it's an honor and a privilege to dig into the Word of God where we find the promises of God. Hey, do me a favor. Look to your left or your right. If you are sitting near someone, greet them in the name of the Lord and welcome someone to church today. It'll buy me a moment to say welcome to the online community. We're so glad that you as well are making time to worship the Lord with us. And we're going to grow together in our faith today. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope that one way or the other you always do, would you turn to Exodus chapter 13 as we continue in our series and our season Pathway to the Promise. So we're just looking at moments in time as the Lord is leading his people to the promised land, out of bondage at the hand of Pharaoh, through the wilderness, and we're learning some things. And it's important because God has a promise for you. And you need to hear this. He has a hope-filled future for you. And there's a place where you are today in your life of faith, in your marriage, in your family, and there's a place that God has in his heart for you to be tomorrow. There's a hope-filled future that he has for you. So we're looking at these moments in time as the Lord is leading his people in this journey to just be informed and inspired about how God works, about the patterns and the principles that still apply to our lives, about how to trust God, about how to persevere, about how to navigate obstacles and opposition as we make our way towards the promised land. So can we pray today and just invite the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us through this series, through this season, through this sermon today? And I'll pray corporately as I do often, but as I encourage you often as well, would you open your heart individually? Would you ask the Lord today to speak to you, to help you, to heal you, to strengthen you? Lord, that's our prayer today. As we pray often, Lord, we thank you that you have so many good things in your heart, Lord. You do have good plans for us. And so we thank you, Lord, that today is a moment in time where you desire to help us, Lord, to see that in a greater way, where you desire, Lord, to equip us or strengthen us, Lord, to be able to navigate those obstacles and the opposition that the enemy introduces, Lord, as we are walking by faith, journeying with Jesus towards the promises that you have for us. And so, Lord, every man, every woman, every person in this room joining us online, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would help them, those who need fresh faith or comfort or healing. Lord, would you do that today, God, from your heart for them as a good heavenly Father? Lord, I pray that you would indeed, Lord, strengthen and encourage and equip your people as well. Lord, give them a vision, give them faith to receive and believe, Lord, that you do indeed have a promised land for them in every area of their life, in Jesus' name. And come on, all of God's mighty men and women said, amen, amen, amen. So Exodus chapter 13 is where we'll pick up. We're going to only read five scriptures from the passage. And from those five verses, I've got 10 statements that I'm going to extract to encourage you with some things today. There's a lot more scripture than that in the message supporting scriptures. But we're just going to read five verses from the story itself. And again, 10 ways that I want to encourage you. So starting in verse 17 and verse 18, in Exodus chapter 13, it says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. And so right there from the start, it says, when Pharaoh finally let his people go, and it speaks to a theme that's been in my heart to encourage you with throughout this series, throughout this season, and that's this: don't give up and don't give in. Keep trusting, keep believing, keep pursuing whatever it is that God has put in your heart. It says finally, because there was a process. There was a season of needing to believe and continue to hold on to the promises of God, that he really did have deliverance in his heart for the people of God. And so I've encouraged us from Galatians 6 verse 9 that says, let us not become weary, let us not grow tired in doing good. For even at the proper time, rather, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we could grow weary in even doing good things. But it says at the proper time, and I've just wanted to just help us understand this. I've touched on it a couple times through this series, is that there are two concepts in the Bible for the word time. And so we oftentimes struggle when we experience delay, when there's something that we're trusting for, hoping for, believing for that hasn't yet occurred in our life. And these two concepts are the Greek words chronos and kairos. Chronos is sequential order of time. It's seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. But then there's kairos, and that's what this scripture says, Galatians 6:9. At the kairos time, you will reap your harvest if you don't give up. And so in my heart and in the heart of the Father towards you is to continue to do what's good, continue to do what's God, whatever he's told you to do, continue to do it. Keep the faith and do not give up. And in my heart, in this sermon, in this series, in this season, I've wanted to believe that the Lord is helping us to have faith that there's a kairos moment coming for you. The thing you've been hoping for, believing for, fasting for, there's a moment where you are going to see God. You're going to get the text. You're going to get the call. You're going to get the good report. There's something that you are going to reap in a kairos moment if you will not give up. Someone say, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. We can become weary even in doing good things. And right there, in fact, before I move on to point two, I want to pray. If there's anyone who feels like they are on the verge of giving up, I want to pray for you right now. Father, would you strengthen them? Lord, would you strengthen them? Would you help them? Would you help them to just take one more lap around those walls of Jericho and just continue to trust you? Lord, don't let them give up, give in, or go home. Lord, help them to hang on to the promises of God. Help them to continue to do what is good and not grow weary. And thank you, Lord, for kairos moments in this season and through this series, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for testimonies of you showing up and delivering, Lord, showing up and healing, showing up and bringing about the provision or the breakthrough that they've been hoping for, longing for, and praying for. In Jesus' mighty name and all God's people said, amen. It says, God did not lead them along the main road, along the main road. And can I just encourage you, as a Christ follower, as a Christian, God is not going to allow you to go on the main road. He's going to call you to live differently. He's gonna call you to live differently. Matthew 17, verse 13 says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide. And don't you know it's true? For the many that choose that way, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. He did not lead them along the main road. And God's gonna call you to go on a narrow road, on a narrow way, to live differently. To be unique. Can I just encourage you? Normal today is anxious, addicted, isolated, discouraged, depressed, and hopeless. And you don't want to be normal today. You want to be extraordinary. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. We want to stand out. We want to shine the light in the darkness. He's not going to allow you to live on the main road. He's calling you to swim against the stream. He's calling you to go up against the current. He's calling you to not go with the flow. Can I encourage you today? Going with the flow rarely gets you closer to God. And he's calling us to live differently. He didn't lead them along the main road. The message of the cross is foolishness, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, to you, to me, to us who are being saved, it's the very power of God. And the Apostle Paul says, therefore, in Romans 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, he's speaking to you, he's speaking to me. He says, in view of God's mercy, the New Living Translation says, because of all that God has done for you, he says, I urge you, offer yourself, your life, your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And he goes on and says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. The New Living Translation of that same verse says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God rather transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He did not lead them along the main road. And I'm calling you, I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you that as a follower of Christ, you're going to have to be willing to say yes to go on a narrow road, a narrow journey, a way that calls you and convicts you to say no to the things that are broad, that broad way to hell that many are finding and many are choosing. And in this day and this hour, who am I preaching to? And you realize that there's a spirit not of condemnation, but of conviction that is calling you back to the narrow way, where your focus and your faith is centered on Jesus and his plans, his purposes, his will, his word, his ways for your life. Normal, again, is anxious, addicted, isolated, discouraged, depressed, hopeless. The Apostle Paul says, don't conform to that. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, because if you do, that's the life you'll get. And he said, but there's a narrow way where you find hope that can't easily be stolen or taken, where you find peace that transcends the circumstances of your life and of the world around you, where you find a sense of significance beyond status and of purpose beyond the possessions and the people and the things that the world says you have to accumulate, achieve, or accrue for yourself to be found a success. There's a narrow way he's calling us to. God did not lead them along the main road. Number three, even though that was the shortest route, and it just speaks to us this, there are rarely shortcuts to anything significant in life. And the world is looking for a shortcut, a get-rich-quick scheme, the compromise. And I'm telling you today, there are rarely shortcuts to a great life of faith, a relationship with Jesus. There are rarely shortcuts to a marriage that is standing strong in the midst of the storms of life, on the firm foundation that is Jesus. And so let's just commit ourselves that we're going to be found. I love this statement. People that build a great life of faith, people that build great godly marriages are people who do consistently what others do occasionally. There are rarely shortcuts to a great life of faith. There are rarely shortcuts to anything significant. So what God calls us to do on that narrow way, let's commit ourselves to it. Let's do it consistently. Let's be found in the house of God with the people of God. Man, can I just tell you how many people, if you would just make a commitment to just be in church, get your family in church, make a commitment to just read the Bible, not as a scholar, but and there's nothing wrong with studying the Word of God in a scholarly way, but I'm telling you, just approaching the Word of God and saying, God, would you give me some daily bread for my daily journey today? Because sometimes it's not about how much we read, it's about how much we can digest, just beginning to just consistently be found in God's Word. To once again, just beginning to be consistently, again, great lives of faith are built by doing consistently what others do occasionally, by every day, every morning, before you get up and go out and do the things that God has called you to do and be the person that God has called you to be, to hit your knees in prayer and say, God, thank you for a daily dose and measure of your grace, your empowerment, your mercies, Lord, covering my weaknesses, and your Holy Spirit filling me with your power to go and do and be the things you've called me to do and be in my life of faith. There are rarely any shortcuts to anything significant, so quit looking for it. Commit yourself to do consistently what God calls you to do. And watch how God uses daily commitment and decision to connect you to a life vision that he has for you. Number four, it says God led them in a roundabout way. And I say it often, it bears repeating, when God delivers a dream, establishes a purpose, extends a promise, he always starts a process. And he led them in the roundabout way. It speaks to someone today who you thought you would have been married in your 20s and you're in your 30s. It speaks to someone today who thought you would have already had the children that you've been praying and believing for. You thought that the people that you've been praying to come to faith in Christ, the prodigal son or daughter or grandson or daughter, you thought it would have already happened. It hasn't yet happened. You thought you would have already received the promotion because you've been doing what I've encouraged you to do. Be faithful with what God has put in your hand. And you've watched how other people who have taken shortcuts and compromise have been promoted or elevated above you or beyond you. I'm telling you today, the process has a purpose. God starts a process and you could trust his timing. In the chronos time of trusting and believing and maybe the doubt and the delay and the disappointment, there's a kairos moment that is coming for you. And the process has a purpose. And can I show you something today? The process is also protective. Because it says God led them in a roundabout way, but can I show you, can we dig a little bit deeper and show you why? Why did God do it? Did you catch it when we read it a moment ago? He said, if the people face a battle, they may turn back. So the process has a purpose and the process is protective. God was taking them in the way, protecting them from what he knew would cause them to give up and go home on the journey that he had them on towards their promised land. And can I tell you, there would be a day where God would find them ready to step into a day of battle. But in this moment, the roundabout way was the protection of God. And can I encourage you with something today, man of God, woman of God, can I encourage you that there are some battles that God has preserved you from that you don't even know about? There are some places that God has redirected and steered you around, some things that the enemy had in store to try to take you out or bring you down. And so can you just have faith that as you're trusting God in the roundabout way, that his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher, and his plans are better than what we even have for ourselves, and he's still the God who desires to do more than we ask, think, or imagine, but sometimes he's gonna take us on the roundabout way. I can't move on from that. There are some people here today, you need to hear this, you need to be reminded, or you need to get a revelation about something today. There are some battles that God has preserved and protected you from that you do not even know about. And you thought that the detour in your life was the enemy, and it was really a sovereign, divine God who cares deeply, personally, and intimately about getting you to that place, and so he kept you from that battle. But can I encourage you with a powerful truth? This is good. To anyone who today finds yourself in a battle, you're there because God knows and believes and has prepared you to win it. Because what this speaks to us right here is that he's able to keep you from it if he needed to. If he didn't think that you were ready, formed, prepared to endure, to win, to gain the victory in the battle that you find yourself in today, he could have rerouted you. So be encouraged today. You're in a battle. It's because God has equipped and prepared you to win. Someone say amen. Amen. The Lord is going ahead of you, Deuteronomy 1:30. He will fight for you just as you saw him do in Egypt. Isaiah 45:2, he says, I will go before you and I will level the mountains. He's still the way maker. He's making a way. He says, I'll break down gates of bronze, cut through bars of iron. And watch this, I was reading this, I just couldn't help but include this scripture. Verse 3, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. He has good plans, he's fighting your battles, and he has a way of taking us on a roundabout way. He protects us from those things. Some of us have been protected from some battles we've never even known about. But today, if you find yourself in a battle, it's because God has equipped and prepared you to win. So fight the good fight, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. I love that it says good fight. Here's what it implies to me, that there are some fights that are good and there are some fights that are not. And so choose your battles wisely. And he says, fight the good fight. And some of us are getting swept up into all the things on social media and everything. Some of us are getting swept up and we're preoccupied and we're anxious and we're fearful about this and that and the other. He says, just be careful, choose your battles wisely, fight the good fight of faith. Spiritual father Paul, writing to his son Timothy, says, make sure you choose your battles wisely, fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So choose your battles wisely, fight the good fight, and fight God's way. Fight God's way. We do not fight according to the way the world does, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. Verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Can I encourage you with something today? Some of you are not getting the victory that you hope for or desire in your life because you're fighting spiritual battles with worldly weapons. You're fighting a spiritual battle, but you're fighting it with worldly weapons. The striving and the struggling and the arguing and all the things, there's a spiritual battle, and the Lord today is here to remind you and encourage you that there's a spiritual realm. Yes, there might be some ways that practically it's experienced in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your ministry. There's some practical ways that we experience these things, but I promise you there's a spiritual battle that unless you commit yourself to begin to fight the battle according to the Lord's weapons, according to his ways, you'll continue to strain and struggle and strive for the victory. But if you'll go back and say, Lord, let me find your pattern, your principles, your promises, your weapons, and begin to wage war that way, there's a victory that God desires to give you. Finally, Ephesians verse 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Someone say his power. Put on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God, another translation says, so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, your struggle, man of God, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your boss, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. So stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness firmly in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up that sword of the Spirit, which is the very word of God. And lastly, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is how we fight our battles. So fight the good fight and fight with God's weapons and begin to experience the victory that God has for you, because thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, they left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Five verses, 10 statements. This is number six. They left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Here's what it speaks is that in life and marriage and a lot of things in life, early on in something that God is inviting you to step into or pursue, a fresh opportunity, the new marriage, the new family, the new job, the new opportunity that God has given you, early on, there's oftentimes excitement and enthusiasm. And when you get close to the finish line, I saw it this last track season as I was watching my daughter run track. There's often a burst at the end when you see that finish line is right there. You're able to summon some energy and strength to maybe go a little quicker, hasten the pace a little bit to make it through to the finish line of whatever God has for you. But where we get tested and challenged the most and where we oftentimes give up and go home is in the middle. It says they left out after seeing all that God had did, and there's a promised land, and look what God has done, and they left out like an army ready for battle, and then you turn a couple pages over, and they're ready to give up and go home. And it's what happens in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, when God has delivered something to us, and early on, there's excitement. Can I tell you, if you're going to endure to the promised land that God has for you in your marriage, you're gonna have to endure the middle. If you want to raise the kids and have the family and leave the legacy of faith, you're going to have to find the faith and the grace to endure the middle. So I'm here to encourage someone today. God wants you to make it to the finish line. So anyone today who realizes or recognizes, and isn't it just true? I mean, who can relate to this? Like in marriage, you find yourself in the middle. Early on, we're not too prone to some of those schemes of the enemy because we're just smitten with the person and we're still kind of just riding the high of the honeymoon. And I'm telling you, I don't deal with many marriage counseling appointments from people who have been married 50 or 55 or 60 years. They've kind of got that thing on lockdown. But when you're in the middle is when the enemy comes in to try to take you out or take you down. And they left Egypt like an army ready for battle. But a few chapters into it, they were ready to give up and go home. Can I just encourage? In fact, I want to just take a moment again and just pray for anyone who's in the middle. And maybe specifically, I just feel the Holy Spirit prompting me for people who are in the middle of marriage and family. And you're discouraged, and you're perhaps on the verge of growing weary and doing good and about ready to give up or throw in the towel. And can I just pray for you, Lord? I pray that you would strengthen their faith in the middle. I pray, Lord, that you would help them realize and see in a new way or a fresh way your sense of purpose and destiny that you still have for their marriage as they're enduring the middle season of their marriage and their family. I pray, Lord, for the parents who are growing tired or weary of doing good because they're in the middle of seeing their kids step into destiny and serving the Lord beyond just knowing and believing in the Lord. I pray, Lord, that people who find themselves growing weak or weary in the middle, ready to give up and go home, Lord, would you put a fresh wind in their sails? Would you put a fresh fire in their heart? Would you restore intimacy in their relationship? God, would you help them to endure the middle season, Lord? And would you help them to make it to the finish line of faith that you have for them in the mighty name of Jesus? And not just to make it, but I'm prompted to pray that there would be a flourishing finish, Lord, that there would be a fresh faith that would cause them to hasten the pace as they keep their eyes fixed firmly on Jesus, the author and protector, the finisher of our faith, who has a finish line for us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, all God's people said. Amen. One more time, a little louder. All God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Verse 20, We read two scriptures earlier, now the final three scriptures, verse 20, Exodus 13. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By the way, just real quickly right there, you thought your town that you went to high school in was a drag. At least you didn't grow up in a place called Succoth, right? I'm just saying, what shall we call this place? Succoth. I mean, it must have just been a real drag. There's nothing to do in that town, that's for sure. They camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. And by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Isn't God amazing? Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place from in front of the people. It says they left Succoth and they camped at the edge of the desert. And can I just encourage you with something today? You could be on the edge of a lot of things. You could be on the edge of a lot of things, but there's two groups of people that I felt the Holy Spirit prompt to encourage today. People that are on the edge of a breakthrough and people who are on the edge of a breakdown. And so let me encourage someone that you're on the edge of a breakthrough. You're almost there. Don't give up. Keep believing. Take another silent lap around your walls of Jericho. You're almost there. Philippians 1:6, the writer says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And some of you are right there on the edge. And it's the place and moment in time where we're maybe most vulnerable to give up because we have grown weary or tired. We've been believing. We've said the prayers. We've stood in faith. And can I encourage you? There's a moment coming. There's a breakthrough coming. Let me encourage someone who's on the edge of a breakthrough. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I am sure of this. If he started it, he'll bring it to completion in your life. So trust him. And let me encourage someone today who's on the edge of a breakdown. With the words of the psalmist from Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, Oh Lord, I have so many enemies, so many who are against me, so many who are saying God will never rescue him. Who's ever felt like that? Overwhelmed, bombarded by trials and struggles. But you, Oh Lord, verse 3, but you, Oh Lord, this is the reality of my situation, but you, God, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. And I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. It says God is the lifter of our heads. And the psalmist said, in that moment, I cried out. So let me encourage you with something. Look up and speak up. Look up and speak up. To those who are on the verge of a breakdown, look up and cry out. The Lord is still listening to the cries of his people and responding to the cries of his people. Let us approach, my favorite scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us approach boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence, another translation says, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when in our time of need, another translation says, when we need it most. And the enemy comes when you're in that moment, the dark day, the dark hour, the day of doubt, and he says, who are you to think that God wants to listen to you, hear you, or respond to you? And I'm telling you, this gives us a powerful, eternal promise. Even on your darkest day, that's when God says you could come, not sheepishly, but boldly to his throne and receive grace and mercy to help you when you need it most. Are you grateful that we have a God who invites us to come to him, even in our dark days, our dark hours, our days of doubt, when we don't have it figured out, when we don't know where to turn or what to do? He says, in that moment, he says, that's when you can come to me. So let me encourage you, if you're on the edge of a breakdown, look up and speak up, because you have a God who's inviting you to come before his throne to obtain the mercy and find the grace, the empowerment that you need in the day, in the time, in the hour when you need it most. All right, it says, by day, the Lord led them as a pillar of cloud, as a pillar of cloud. And it just speaks to the heart and the nature of God to comfort and to cover his people in dry seasons and wilderness seasons. And today, if you'll invite him into, if you'll get back onto that narrow road, keeping your eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus, making your way towards the promised land that he has for you, he's still in the business of bringing comfort and covering to those who will look to him and trust in him. Have mercy on me, Psalm 57, verse 1. Oh God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. and I will take refuge where? In the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And so often and so many times in so many ways, we look for our comfort in the things and the pleasures and the people and other places in the world. And the problem with that, there might be some temporary maybe peace that those things bring to you, but the problem is it's fleeting and it's circumstantial, and you'll always have to go back for more. But Jesus said there's a fountain from which you can drink, from which you'll never thirst again, and his name is Jesus. And he went before his people as a pillar of cloud by day. And it just speaks to those hot, dry, weary seasons that we endure in our life, our marriage, and our family. And would you invite him? Would you find your refuge not in the things of this world, but would you turn to the shadow of his wings? I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And he went before them as a pillar of fire, as a pillar of fire. Psalm 43 verse 3 says, send out your light, send out your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. Today it speaks to God's heart, God's desire to lead you, to guide you, to help you, to show you, to direct you. It's what I pray for you guys. Often the team around here could tell you, I am continually praying for God to be your source of protection, provision, and direction. And today, God is still wanting and longing to direct his people. And this symbolically represents now what God desires to do through us by the Holy Spirit, through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, to give us a sense of peace that brings about direction and decision for our lives, because there will be places and things in life that God's word won't specifically address or direct your decision. And so he says, would you look to me? Would you ask me? Would you invite me into your life as the Holy Spirit to begin to show you, to begin to lead and guide and inform and direct the decisions that I have for you, to take the steps? And I've shared on it before, it bears repeating in this context for obvious reasons. Psalm 109 verse 5, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. And I love these two concepts that I encourage with us with often. God does have a path, a plan, a future, a promised land for you. And he wants to show you, he wants to enlighten that path for you. But he says his word is also a lamp for your feet. In other words, for the very next step you need to take. And it's always true. It's immutably true. The very most important step that you are required and called to take is always the first or the next step. And it's just an encouragement, right? God's got a way. He'll get you there. But today, all he's asking you to do is say, God, what does your word say about what's most important, my first or my next step? So he guided them and he protected them and he covered them with a pillar of cloud by day, and he guided them and he directed them with a pillar of fire by night. Why? So they could travel in day or night. Because God is always looking every season, every moment, day or night, when you see clearly, when you don't know where to turn, God desires to continue to lead you step by faithful step towards the promised land that he has for you. Someone say amen. Lastly, we'll close right here. Worship team, you could come up and we close with some ministry time today. Neither the cloud nor the fire that we just spoke about left its place from before the people. And I read that and it just jumped off the page to me that some of you feel like God has abandoned you. But I'm here to encourage you. God's never left your side. And it's the lie of the enemy when he shows up and he says, see, God has left you, God has forsaken you. I'm telling you today, God's never left your side. Through thick and thin, good seasons, hard seasons, good chapters in the story that God's writing in your life, your marriage, your family, difficult seasons, seasons and days of struggle, doubt, despair, God has never left your side. So you, can I encourage you with the encouragement that we see often found in the book of Joshua? So be strong and be courageous. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And today, if you feel like God is far from you. God never has left your side. He's always been right there waiting. The Bible says in Revelation, he's knocking on the door of your heart. He's looking for us to answer. He's looking for us to come back to him. And now in Christ Jesus, what a powerful promise from a book of Ephesians chapter 2. You who once were far away have been brought near by the precious blood of Christ. So can I encourage you today, if you feel like it's too late, it's too lost, you're too far gone, God is still in the business of bringing us back. And he's never left you. He's never forsaken you. In the reality of the real mistakes, in the reality of the drifting, the doubt, the despair, God has always been right there knocking on the door of your heart. Would you answer and would you let him in? Neither the pillar of light nor the pillar of fire ever left their place from before the people, and God's never left your side. And he's knocking on the door of your heart. Would you stand to your feet today? And as you stand, would you do what's become a custom in this house? Would you ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today? And then would you really make space, time, and intentionality to really listen? Would you turn your spiritual ears towards heaven? Just listen to the voice of a good Heavenly Father. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. And so, Lord, would you speak to your people today to remind them of some things maybe they need to be reminded of, or to reveal to them today maybe something new or fresh from your heart to theirs, God, today. He sees where you are. He knows where you are today. But I promise you, there is a place of promise and purpose, that hope-filled future we read about in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 that he has for you. And so, Lord, today, would you speak to us as you're reminding us of some things, some patterns, some principles, some ways that you have, in a previous season, led your people out of a place of bondage, and you delivered them, you rescued them, you set them free, and then you led them out and up towards the place that you have for them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you're still in the business of doing that today. Rescuing people from bondage, delivering us, and calling us. And then you don't leave us, Lord, to figure it out on our own. Although many times we fall into that trap, we are tempted to maybe take things into our own hands, but your desire is to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, to direct us forward and toward, Lord, the promised land that you have for us. And so, Lord, speak to us today. Any of us who have maybe gotten off track, maybe today the Lord is calling you back onto that narrow road to get your eyes fixed once again in faith on Jesus, on his heart, on his ways, on his will. And you've been maybe swept up or caught up, preoccupied with a broad way that leads to destruction. And today, it's not the voice of condemnation, but there is a voice of conviction that is inviting you to get back on your journey with Jesus, to rediscover that narrow road. And so what does that look like for you today, to say yes to that conviction and to maybe lay aside some things and to get back on that journey with Jesus? Just continue to listen to whatever it is that the Lord is speaking to you individually, and allow me the opportunity to give people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to welcome him into their heart, to receive the free gift of salvation. That's the language of the Bible. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't get good to get God. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart in a moment and gives you the faith to receive the grace of God, the free gift of salvation that only could be accomplished by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And so if that's you, you need to receive that free gift and be forgiven of all your sins. Or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you once knew God, loved God, maybe even served God, but if you were honest with yourself, today you're far from God. You've gotten swept up, caught up with that broad path that leads to destruction. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable, a story about someone like that, when he told that story of the prodigal son, the wayward one who went to his earthly father, said, give me what's mine, went out, lived in the world, and found himself eventually at the end of his funds, his friends, came to his senses, the story says. So what am I doing out here? Maybe, just maybe, I could go home, and maybe, just maybe, my father will welcome me home as a servant. And he got up and he began that journey, and Jesus tells a story saying the father saw him from a long ways off. And here's why that's critically important to the story. Because I believe Jesus was trying to tell us when we find ourselves in that condition, far from God, the posture of God towards us. God, that father, that earthly father was looking for, longing for, hoping for that moment when that wayward one who was way far gone would come to his senses and just take one step back towards his father's heart and his father's home. And the rest of the story says this: the father got up and ran to the edge of the property to welcome the son and restore him fully as a son, not just as a servant. So if that's you today, far from God for whatever reason, that's the posture of the father towards you today. Arms wide open, ready to run to you, to welcome you, to reconcile and restore you. So if that's you, you need the free gift of salvation, or you need to come back into the loving arms of your good heavenly Father, this is the step I wanna ask you to take right now. Don't delay, lift your hand as high and as fast and as far as you can towards heaven. I say it often, you're not responding to a preacher. This is an outward sign of an inward work. You're responding to your heavenly Father. One more moment for anyone else who wants to join these individuals in coming home to the arms, to the loving arms of your heavenly Father, or to receive the free gift of salvation, which includes the payment of and the washing away of every sin as far as the east is from the west. If you raise your hand, you can lower it. And we are gonna ask you to take a second step, and that's to pray a prayer of faith. But you are not going to be asked to pray it alone. You're gonna hear the sound of this entire church family praying it in unison with you, as the first way of many ways we'll come alongside you to show our support towards you in your journey with Jesus towards the promises he has for you. So come on, church family, with a couple of amazing individuals today who received that free gift or came back into the loving arms of a good heavenly Father. Let's pray this prayer with some fresh faith. Say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay that price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, say it loudly, I will never be the same, and then rejoice with all of heaven. Hey, God bless you. Let's worship the Lord one more time together today, then we'll come and dismiss you. God bless you.